This is Dr. Michael Bricky with Ageless Lifestyles Radio, cutting-edge thinking for being youthful at every age. On each program, I interview experts on what it takes to live longer, healthier, and happier. Our program takes a holistic approach in addressing anti-aging psychology, medicine, alternative medicine, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. Our emphasis is on innovative thinking and practices that have solid data and results. It may not be fair, but people do judge a book by its cover. And people do judge you by your appearance, even before you say a word. Your wardrobe and appearance can make you look older or younger, competent or clueless. Image and color expert Don Waltrip consults with and teaches business leaders and professionals on how to look their best. The result has often been promotions, raises, and increased sales. Today, she's going to help you learn about how your optimal colors change with age, and how you can choose colors and styles that go with your age and your lifestyle. I've worked with three image consultants over the years. The first two tended to focus on dress for success concepts and talked about color. They were very helpful, but Dawn's understanding of color was so much more sophisticated. She really nailed it. When she showed me the colors that looked best on my skin tone and hair, I was amazed. Of course, there was some pain when she went through my closet and said half of it had to go. Goodwill had a really good day that day. And then Dawn and I went shopping. In the first part of the program, we'll take a look at how your best colors change as you age. In the second part of the program, we'll look at practical tips on how to dress your best. And we'll take a look at email questions and some baby steps. Dawn, welcome.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
You wrote, as you age, your skin gets lighter, your eyes fade in color, and your hair turns gray. This process is so we look nice as we age. I never thought of those changes as making us look good. Why do you see them as good?
Because all three, our skin under our skin fades, and the eyes fade in color, and the hair turns gray, all three of them, you notice, they all go together. They all fade and harmonize together. Sometimes you've seen people out there who are aging and they're coloring their hair, and their hair is too dark, and you look at it and you go, whoa, because you can tell that their hair is too dark for that person at that age. The reason being is now it's not harmonizing because their eyes have faded in color, and of course also their skin tone has faded. So now you've got the one item that's not at the same level or the same value as the skin and the eyes. So it jumps out at you. So as people mature and they are coloring, especially women, but men do it also, you know, for example, the hair, they're coloring the hair, they will get to a point where they'll have to start doing it, coloring it lighter and lighter and lighter. And eventually, the majority of the people in the world, I mean, eventually you get to one point, you have to just let it do its thing and let it go gray so that it does not look out of place. So we're really put together for a reason, so that skin tone, the eye, and the hair color all harmonizes and it looks nice. Same thing even when we're younger, if you're popping in, you've got brown eyes, and now you're popping in blue eye contacts. Well, what happens is now people are looking at those eyes and they're not looking at you, the individual. So as we age, you know, we want people to remember that we look nice. We don't want them to necessarily remember, oh, you know, he had really dark hair.
So as with so much of fashion or even something like a facelift, less is often more. And if you're going to do some coloring, do it subtly and not to an extreme that tries to make you look 20 again.
And that's the wonderful thing about color is when you learn what colors look best on you, because we're born with our coloring, it never changes. What we will do as we mature within our color palette, which is all of our thousands of colors, if you've ever gone through a color consultation, you receive a color palette, and it's got all your thousands of colors in it. What people will tend to do as they age is they will just shift within their color palette. So maybe they'll go with some colors that are not as bright, or they will still go to that middle realm versus the really light and bright or the really dark ones. But the wonderful thing about color is you are wearing your colors. It makes you look younger. If you're wearing colors that do not enhance you, then it ages us. We look like we don't feel well. People even come up to us and say, you know, Mike, are you feeling okay today? And you're thinking, I feel fine. Why are they saying this to me? What it will be is it will actually be the color that you're wearing. It becomes more important as we age. When we're younger, yes, we look better in our colors, but we can get away with more. But as we mature, because the hair is turning gray and the skin is fading and the eyes are fading in color, it becomes even more important for us to be in our colors, because it becomes even more noticeable as we're maturing. And it's interesting also, because since we were born with those colors, we know what our colors are. If you go through a color consultation like you did, what happens is now I show you the why. Oh, that's why I love that in my closet. Oh, that's why that's hanging there and I'm not wearing it. Oh, somebody else bought it for me as a gift. Oh, the clerk talked me into it. So it just brings that why to you.
That's something I disagree with you about. You talk about how people just naturally know their colors, or even children naturally know their colors, but I find a lot of people intellectually overrule their intuitions, and, you know, maybe they've read a book that says green means this and red means this, and so they latch onto that. Oh, I want to wear blue because I want to be calm, as opposed to the intuition.
And that's okay if you want to wear blue, because everybody's got a blue in their color palette. And if you want to wear, you know, your blue to make you feel calm, you know, that's fine. Piece of it is that we do know. I mean, if you take that child who's 3 years old, let them go shopping, they'll intuitively, they'll pick out their colors. What happens, though, is then we go to school and we start getting influenced by moms and dads and peers and fashions and clerks and everybody around us, and we tend to second guess ourselves. Instead of listening, as I say, to that inner child, we start second-guessing ourselves. That's why when I go through a color consultation with someone, they will go, oh, okay, that's why I love that. Okay, that's why, yes, I say I look okay in that, but okay is hanging in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Versus that article that is my color in my closet, oh my gosh, I wear it till I can't wear it anymore. But what happens is because we get so influenced from the world around us, that's why it then becomes so important to bring us back to and have that educational piece of it. Like you go to school, you learn why 2 plus 2 equals 4, so you don't write 5 the rest of your life. It's the same thing. You need to go through that education for yourself and now have that confirmation of, okay, here's what works best for me, and I know this because I see it and I feel it, versus here's what's not working for me. Once you've got that why part for yourself, then you'll no longer second-guess yourself or let other people influence you out there, because that's what has happened, is that people start second-guessing themselves. And unfortunately, women will do it more than men, because fashion just so confuses women.
Hmm.
I mean, they can have 6 magazines. It's all talking about the same thing in every magazine, but every magazine is telling that woman something differently.
Skin undertones are a key to this. Can you explain what they are and how you would recognize them?
What happens, we're put together so that skin undertone harmonizes with our eyes and our natural hair coloring. And in our skin undertone, the human body originates with red. We all have red in that skin undertone. Matter of fact, if you looked at anybody's skin on the top, you'll see, you know, red, yellow, green, and blue. But predominantly, we'll have that red mixed with either yellow or with the blue. Now, people out there who predominantly have yellow in their skin undertone, they love to wear bright colors with that yellow undertone. So they'll wear corals and peaches and apricots and royal blues, and they look good in camels and browns. Their red would be more of a tomato red or an orangey red. People that you know are like a Princess Diana or her son, Prince William. Then you've got people who have an even balance of red and yellow mixed in their skin undertone, and they're classified warm oranges. Now, the ones with the yellow predominantly, they're classified warm goldens. Then those with the even balance of red and yellow in their skin tone, they're classified as warm oranges. Because they've got an even balance of that red and yellow, oh my gosh, they'll love anything with orange. I mean, they will wear a bright orange. But again, they're still wearing warm colors. They'll wear peaches and apricots and corals and rust. They can wear a green that's a lime green, which is a yellow green, or they could also wear a green, which is an army green. Then you've got people who are warm tawnies. They predominantly have that red in their skin, but they still have the yellow mixed in. Now, there aren't very many of these people in the world. Going back to that warm orange, someone that you know would be Princess Diana's other son, Prince Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the warm tawnies, they have so much red mixed in that their colors are colors like mustard yellow and brick red and pumpkin orange and an army green, colors a lot of people look at and go, ugh, I don't like those colors. But boy, you take like an Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's a warm tawny. You see him out there in the world now, and he wears his camels and his cream-colored shirts and his rusts and his oranges. I mean, he's in those warm colors. If you look at his hair, because he's not dyeing it now, when he played the Terminator, they dyed his hair black, and they put him in black leather. Black was not his color. So they wanted to make him look tougher. They were creating a character.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember Julia Roberts, if you ever saw that movie, Pretty Woman,
oh yes,
when they didn't want her pretty, they put her in black, white, and red, which are cool colors, they not warm colors. You know, warm has the yellow undertone, cool has the blue undertone.
Mm-hmm.
When they wanted to make her pretty, everybody remembers she walks out in this orangey, tomatoey red dress.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked out in this camel dress with these cream-colored polka dots. And, of course, each time she walked out, we looked at her and said, oh, Pretty Woman. That's the name of the movie. So they purposely did that with her. Then you have people on the other side of the spectrum. You have people who predominantly have blue in their skin undertone with very little red. They now love bright colors, but with the blue undertones. They'll wear a bright pink, which is a fuchsia, royal blues, bright purples. They can wear white. They can wear black. Then you have people who are cool roses. President Clinton is a cool rose. He has an even balance of the red and blue in their skin. Cool roses, everything is very gentle and soft about them. Their skin tone, their eyes, their hair coloring, and so are their colors. Blue undertone, but soft colors. For example, their blue is a soft federal blue versus a bright royal blue that the cool violet could wear. Their pink would be more of a soft rosy pink versus a real bright fuchsia pink that the cool violet can wear. Then you have your cool reds. Now, they predominantly have red in their skin. They still have that blue mixed in. They don't like wearing bright colors because they have more red mixed in their skin tone versus the cool violets. They have so much blue that they love wearing blue undertone bright colors. The cool reds will stay more neutral, blacks, any shade of grays, deep burgundies, deep plums, deep blue greens, black. The deeper, the darker, the better. And predominantly in our world, the majority of the people in the world are cool violets and cool reds. And you've got, you know, an even balance, cool roses, warm goldens, and then not as many warm oranges and definitely not as many warm tawnies. People get confused because they think, oh, well, if I have light skin, then I have to be a warm. No. You can have very light skin to very dark skin, actually very light to medium in all the color categories. When you get into the really, really dark skins, they usually are in that cool side of the spectrum. But you've got blondes, brunettes, and redheads in every category.
So if someone doesn't have the advantage of sitting down with you, how can they find what their color scheme is?
To know it for sure, really need to go through someone such as myself who has had training through Fashion Academy, because Jerry Pinkney was the one who pioneered the color analysis, and they are now out of Memphis, Tennessee, so you really want to go through a consultant. That is the absolute best way to do it in person. Someone rare such as myself, where I can actually look at a picture of you, get on the phone and talk to you,
mm-hmm.
and determine what your colors are through the telephone. But if you read a book, you're going to put yourself in every category. But once you've got someone such as
It wasn't myself, just me that got confused.
No. And that's why even I can do it through the telephone. You send a picture to me, and I know because I've been doing it for 20 years. You know, I can tell just by looking at you what you are and asking you questions, because you know what you are, and you're going to answer those questions for me, and I can determine. But I am a rarity in that area. I mean, Fashion Academy will tell you, please go through someone who uses the spectrum cards, and they are actually showing you now what colors you look best in. Because it is confusing. I mean, before I went through my training, same thing. I'd read those books out there. Oh, well, I think I'm this one. Well, I must be a little of this one. Well, you're not. You only fall into one color category. The human body is not put together that you fall into a combination of any of those. You fall into one of those.
Now, one of the things that amazed me when we talked was you talked about needing delicate fabrics and a delicate look. Does that come mostly from color, or does it come from build or complexion?
Materials really falls into personality, what you like as far as the texture or the pattern of materials. And if you're talking about texture, people who are more naturals, they like things that have some texture to it. They like a corduroy or a tweed, people who are more classic or romantic, they like softer materials, like the microfibers or the silks. Even your dramatics, they'll get into things that have a softer material. So materials, as far as the texture of them, will come more into what you're comfortable in and what your personality is.
That was another dimension of what you do that I found fascinating. You had these four categories, and the idea was to know which image you want to project. Could you contrast for us dramatic versus romantic?
We've got four different personalities when it comes to our clothes, our accessories, our hairstyles: natural, classic, romantic, and dramatic. And the naturals, they like a wash and wear hairstyle, little to no makeup, little to no jewelry. If they do wear a watch, maybe it'll be a leather banded watch. Even the type of shoes they pick out, they'll prefer a thicker soled shoe. And even shoes, a lot of times they like it to have some texture in it. Like if it's a woman, they'll like it to have a weave in the shoe. It'll have texture to it. Your classics are very conservative, very tailored. They like their hair to look nice, but they don't want to have to do a lot of fussing with it. Their jewelry is very simple, but it's always there. And they like things that have more of a curvature in their jewelry. So it's interesting, if you're a classic, even your watch, you'll notice that there's roundness or curvature in it. You don't like to do things that are very angular or squared or rectangular or triangular. They like materials that are soft, a very tailored look, never goes out of style, makes life simple for them.
Could you give us some examples of the naturals and the classics?
People remember Carol Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
She's a natural. Farrah Fawcett is a natural.
Robert Redford,
and he's also a warm. Yes, he's a natural. Your classics, so many of your men and women will fall into that classic category, like Princess Diana. She's very classic, conservative. Her sons are kind of following in that same depth. Part of it is their role, but part of it is their upbringing and personality as well, too. Your romantics now, those are your men and women. Neil Diamond. Okay, he's a romantic. If you remember, his hair still is long, but it was even longer when he was younger, because the romantic men and women like their hair longer. They love to shop. They want to know everything that's new out there. The woman, she loves fashion. Dolly Parton. She's become more classic, but years ago, if you watched her, she was natural mixed with romantic. She always had the denims on, but she always had this lace or these ruffles hanging off of everything. Her nails was longer, her hair was longer. So that was very the romantic. They love those soft materials. And outside of, the work arena, they love clothes that are more sensual as well. And that romantic man or woman, they'll be in that bathroom for 2-3 hours. Even the guy be in that bathroom primping himself. And then you've got your dramatics. They're the ones who love bold prints, bold patterns. They, too, love to stay up on fashion. A lot of times, men who would like to wear their hair slicked back or more that double-breasted look, very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like Cher is dramatic. She's always been dramatic. And when she used to wear those Bob Mackie dresses years ago, people made fun of her. Well, now they're saying, oh, my gosh, she looks great. She could carry that off. Because she's tall, she has an angular versus a round bone structure, so she's very dramatic. Versus, I know people can't see you and myself, but if they went to our websites, they could see a picture of you and me. We're so much more classic and conservative.
Mm-hmm.
If we went out dressed dramatic, people would look at us and go, who is that clown? Where'd they get them? Because we're not dramatic. Even if we try to wear it, it's not who we are, so it's not going to work for us.
So it's picking one of these four types that goes with your personality style, and any one of the four could work in business?
Yes, the naturals, usually we bump them up into classic. We dress them up a little bit more, and that's as far as they're going to go. They're not going to go anywhere else. They'll move into classic and feel comfortable. Now, the classics work in business.
Mm-hmm.
Your romantics and dramatics, depending how romantic and how dramatic someone dresses, because there's different degrees of it. If they're too romantic or dramatic, we usually just tone them down slightly, because you don't want to take away from who they are. But you tone it down slightly towards the classic. True romantics and dramatics, like it's a woman, they like to wear the things low cut. Well, okay, that's not going to work in business. Let's take that up a notch. You can still wear your soft materials or your flowered prints, or if it's the guy, you can still wear that bold tie, but let's, just take it down a notch in the business arena So now that's not taking away from being professional.
One of the things you surprised me with, too, was you said, Mike, you're wearing a gold watch and you've got gold buttons on your blazer. It's all wrong for you. You need silver.
Predominantly because of that skin undertone, individuals that have got that blue undertone in their skin tone, the cool violets, cool reds, cool roses, the silver will harmonize better with your skin. The cool reds oftentimes will wear silver or they'll go to a gold, but it is a really, really, really light gold that oftentimes you look at it and you have to look at it to even see. I mean, because there's a difference. There's many shades of gold. It's really light. So predominantly, yes, the individuals who have that blue undertone, that gold jewelry, and a skin's the large organ of our body, and that's mainly what we're dealing with here, is that when you put that on your skin, the silver predominantly looks, it harmonizes with you. So now if you walked in, because we communicate visually with people, when someone walks in the door, we look at your whole package. You could have one thing on that's not your color, and the human eye will scan you, and then they'll get stuck. And you do it, I do it, everybody does it. You notice it more when you're younger, but we even do it as we mature. We'll watch someone on TV and go, oh, my gosh, that guy's wearing an orange tie. But we don't even know where the words came from. The words came because that individual is a cool. He doesn't look good in orange because orange is a warm color. So we visually communicate. It's not right or wrong, but we will notice that one thing that does not enhance that individual, and that's where jewelry comes into the play. The warms look awesome in their gold jewelry. Silver jewelry just never, ever looks good on them. So they definitely want to stick with that gold jewelry on the warm side.
And that's something I never would have thought of. You're listening to Ageless Lifestyles Radio on webtalkradio.net. We're talking with colored image consultant Dawn Waldrop. That's W-A-L-D-R-O-P. Dawn is based in Cleveland but travels around the country speaking, consulting, and coaching. Her business and book are titled Best Impressions, and her website, www.best-impressions.com, has articles, tips, and a wardrobe quiz. Want your neck and hands to look younger and lose those dark spots? Here's a message from our sponsor, 40 Degrees Younger.
No longer do women over 40 have to worry that their hands and neck show their true age. 40 Degrees Younger has developed two extraordinary age reversal products which have been clinically tested to prove that time does not need to be your enemy. Women continue to search for answers to reduce the appearance of aging and damaged skin, including injections, lasers, and even surgery. But until now, there has been no answer to aging hands and neck, two of the most difficult areas of the body to treat. 40 Degrees Younger Age Reversal Serum and Transform Day Cream have been specifically formulated for a woman's hand and neck. These remarkable products contain Q-Stan-D, a patented combination of high-dosage therapeutic levels of unique active ingredients, which penetrate deep into the cell's DNA to stimulate cellular repair, producing healthier and younger-looking skin. Visit 40degreesyounger.com. That's 40 degrees younger, and discover why women who are approaching 40, who have just turned 40, or who have blazed their way beyond 40 are excited about the amazing results they see from 40 Degrees Younger. Life happens in stages. Aging happens in degrees. With 40 Degrees Younger, your hands and neck will no longer give your true age away. Visit 40degreesyounger.com today. Get an Ageless Lifestyles Radio Special Introductory Discount when you enter the code AGELESS. The discounted offer expires May 31st, 2008.
Dawn, what can you tell us about gray hair and our fear of gray?
Well, it's interesting because depending on what color category you fall in, for example, your warm goldens and your cool roses, they actually age the most gracefully. The reason being is their skin tone, eyes, and hair color is lighter. And so what happens when we turn gray? Well, of course, we go even lighter. So for those individuals, they will tend to age more gracefully versus someone who's a warm tawny or cool red or cool violet, and they've got more contrast. Let's say they've got black hair.
Mm-hmm.
They've got more color contrast, so they just have to be a little bit more aware. Those are usually ones who are coloring their hair. For example, your cool roses and warm goldens, when they just let their hair naturally go gray, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. I've had many who have said, well, I've been told I should color my hair. Should I color my hair? No, because your hair is just so naturally beautiful. Now, a lot of times with certain cool violets, cool reds, their hair will just go a beautiful salt and pepper, or it will go a pure white, and it's just gorgeous for them. There are some, and I happen to be one of those, where mine is not going to go that pure white for a long, long, long time. So I will be one who will continue to color my hair, and I am already at the stage where now each time it gets colored, we go a shade lighter because I'm aging, so that it looks nice for me for my age as I'm maturing. So it's interesting because color plays a part in that too. One, if you are coloring your hair, you want to make sure you're coloring it correctly. That is an industry where they've had no training in cosmetology school. They can mix any color that someone wants unless they've actually gone through training. They do not know how to look at you and know what your colors are and then know, you know, what to do color-wise for your hair. So as we age, that becomes a very important piece of that. So some, they don't have to worry about it at all. Others, then they, if they are coloring it, they want to make sure they're coloring it correctly. But because we were put together, so the hair color, the eyes, and the undertone harmonize, your hair, when you let it go naturally, it's naturally going to go the way it's supposed to go.
For people who do need to help out a little with some color, what would you tell your hairdresser or your barber?
If they've gone through a color consultation, one of the things that I teach them is that, for example, if they're warm and they have the yellow undertone in their skin tone, I will teach them that now when you go to get your hair colored, you're going to want them to be mixing golds and oranges for you, no blues and violets. Because if you put a blue or violet, it'd be like taking a warm, they want to put red in their hair. Well, they want their hair to be more of an orangey red because that harmonizes with their skin undertone. They don't want them putting like a burgundy that's a blue-red on their hair. One, they'll hate it, and two, it'll look like you put burgundy on their hair. So if they're a cool and they've got that blue undertone, recommend to them that they want their stylist, their colorist, to mix blues and violets. They don't want them to put golds and oranges in their hair, because otherwise, if they do, you're going to be looking at their hair color and not looking at the individual.
You talk about refreshing a wardrobe. What do you mean by that?
One of the ways we can look younger, looking longer, is that we keep that wardrobe updated. One of the most important things for men and women alike is the materials in the clothes, because what the manufacturers do is that they continually are changing what the clothes are made of, the material in the clothes. Now, you don't need to change your personality. If you're classic, you know, classic years ago, like, for example, in business attire and suits, the material was a stiffer material. Well, now they've changed it for men and women, and they've brought in still a classic suit, but it's a softer material. So you want to keep that wardrobe refreshed, because usually about every 5 years, they're kind of shifting materials or changing materials. So now if, Mike, you've got that, you know, business outfit on from more than 5 years ago, it's going to look like you've got a jacket on from 5 years ago. So that will age you. For men, if they're still in the business arena, one of the things is for the guys, is that if you are in a suit situation, buy those ties at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because what they do is they change the width of the lapel on your suit jackets. And you want the widest part of the tie to match that widest part of your lapel. So you can tell, and you watch guys on TV, watch your newscasters, you know, watch people, you will be able to tell if maybe now the guy has a tie on that's a newer tie, but his suit jacket is an older jacket. So the lapel on the jacket may be real wide, but he's got this real skinny tie that he's wearing. So it looks out of place, because one of those articles, the tie or the jacket, it's out of date. So that's another way to stay updated in your look for the guy.
So that's the difference between the local news and the national news.
Yes, because you, yes, very good point. Because, yes, you will notice that with people, that they're not staying updated, yeah, with that look on television. Now, for women, we have a couple more arenas we have to pay attention to. We need to pay attention to our makeup every 2-3 years that we're refreshing, especially when we're, you get into your 40s, you definitely get around 50, that you want to, every couple years, be doing a refresher with your makeup, because things are changing. The skin's changing. The skin's fading. the texture is changing. It's becoming more dry. So we want to stay up on makeup tips for ourselves. And usually as women mature, less becomes even more importantly, becomes less is better. And then for women, which is key too, very, very key for them, is their hairstyle. Is now having a hairstyle that is attractive for them, not what you wear when you were 19 or 20, but attractive for that woman at that age. That's why you will see women out there who, oh my gosh, they don't look their age because they're updated in their clothes, their makeup, and that hair, which is just totally key for them.
So for a woman in her 50s or 60s, what kind of hairstyles might be appropriate?
Well, that hairstyle is going to depend on the individual shape of their face and the texture of their hair. For women, most women you find that they tend to go shorter with their hair, usually if it's even at least an inch up off the shoulders. And I even remember years ago, I could never understand why, you know, why women, you know, you see these women and they're getting older and they go short with their hair. Well, that's because gravity is going the other way, and the short hairstyle brings an uplift, and it brings an uplift to the face, and it brings an uplift to the eyes. Women, though, have to beware, because if you go too short, depending on what your body frame is or how tall you are, if you go too short, now it will age you. So it will depend specifically for that individual what the shape of their face is, how tall they are, what their body frame is. You know, you don't want this really tall woman. I had a woman the other day who was very tall, small bone structure, long neck, and she was actually in her mid-50s, and her question was, what do I do with my hair? I said, well, you can go, and it was past her shoulders. Go. She's got to keep it longer. If she goes too short, she's going to look out of proportion. But for her to go at least a couple inches above her shoulders was going to make a huge difference for her. It was going to make her look younger looking. She was going to feel better about herself. She'll feel like she looks younger looking. And I guarantee that people will compliment her that, you know, she looks younger looking. Then you get into facial hair, because where does a man gray first? In that facial hair. So you have a man, his hair color is not gray, but now he decides to grow a mustache or a beard, and it's got gray in it. Now, unless he's going to take the time to go ahead and color it appropriately so it's not too dark, and he's coloring it appropriately, now you look at a man and he just immediately has aged himself. Having facial hair for a man also depends for him the shape of his face. If a man has a really long face, he's going to feel comfortable with a mustache because it breaks up his face. Let's say maybe now he's getting a receding hairline. Okay, the mustache will break that up and will make the receding hairline look so drastic. Now, if he's all gray, that's fine. But if what hair he has still has color in it, then he may want to color that mustache, because inevitably that facial hair always goes gray first. And some men, honestly, just they don't look good with facial hair. I've had men come up and ask me, should I shave this? Well, the reason they're asking me is because they know they don't look good in it. It's interesting, because when something's not working for us, that's when we ask. When it's working for us, we don't ask because we know we don't have to ask because we know it's working for us. So I always joke when people ask me a question, I already know it's not working. But what they're looking for is, explain to me why it's not working. Why is this facial hair not working? You've got a round face. The facial hair now is, you know, giving more of a round look to your face. Well, here, no man wants that. Boom, immediately the next day it's gone. It's off. Because now he's been given the why. People will immediately make changes when they understand the why and how it's going to benefit them. But until they get that why, and that's the educational piece, till you learn what colors look best on you, yeah, predominantly you'll buy your colors, but you'll still buy some that aren't your colors. Versus once you know why something doesn't work for you, now you walk in the store and not allow that clerk to talk you into something that's not going to work for you. And you can give them a choice. I always tell people, please give the clerks a choice. If they walk in and they're trying to put orange on you and you're going, no, 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 I don't want orange. Oh, no, no, Mike, it's the color. It's the in color. You need to have it in your closet. They'll stand there and argue with you all day. Versus if you say, no, I'm looking for something in a soft federal blue or gray. Oh, yes, yes, we've got that. Let me go get that for you. As soon as you give them a choice, they will help you.
As our hair gets not only grayer, but probably thinner, does that mean that our materials and textures should get more delicate?
No, no, because really those in our clothes, our materials, that's really your personality. and what you feel comfortable in. So no, that really won't have any play in it. You could be an 80-year-old man, and if you're a natural, you're still wearing corduroys.
Okay.
So that doesn't really have any play into it as we're maturing.
I see the fashions that are advertised for women now, all these very big prints and bold colors, and I look at that and I say, most women are going to look dreadful in that. Should women just take a pass for a year? Or?
Oh my gosh, the more mature women, absolutely, we walk away from it. Well, first of all, we'll tell you, we wore that style at some point in our life. Okay, and you've seen it too, even for the guys. You look at that and go, oh my gosh, I wore that when I was in high school. Well, we can't wear that now. The younger ones can get away with it. Again, they want to be in their colors and it needs to be their personality, but we've been there, done that. Oh my gosh, we're not going to put that on, and we don't. That is the one wonderful thing. It's interesting because any of my clients that I've worked with that are 60 years and over, they'll fall back into that inner knowingness when they were a young child. Oh, can't wear that color. I look terrible. I look dreadful in that color. Oh, I can't wear that style. Oh, that style makes me look matronly. It makes me look older. Or, oh, I like these bold prints. Oh, I'm not going to wear, I can't wear that. You know, I'd look like a clown. I'm more conservative. Because everyone, as they mature, all men and women, even if they were more romantic or dramatic when they were younger, everyone moves into classic and a degree of classic. Everyone will move into some classic as they mature.
One of the things I found frustrating is that the clothes are getting bigger and bigger. Pants are getting baggy. They're accommodating the obesity epidemic. How can people who aren't overweight get clothes that fit?
That's why tailoring is so important. You need to have your clothes tailored. Now, what's important before even that, though, is understanding your style. Because if you're choosing your style and there's only basic styles out there, and manufacturers only make basic styles. When you learn what styles complement your body frame, squared shoulders, sloped shoulders, you have long arms, you have short arms, you know, where do you carry your weight? Most men carry their weight in the upper part of their body. Women, however, though, some will carry it in the upper part in their stomach, others will carry it more in their behind, in their hip area. And then you learn what styles complement your body frame. When you're getting the style that complements your body frame, now you get it tailored. Tailoring is minimal when you've chosen the style that complements your body structure and your body type. If you choose a style that's not yours, oh my gosh, now, you know, tailoring is ridiculous, but it's not really you, it's the style you've pulled off. And one of the things I explain to people is here's why it's important to have our clothes tailored. Well, one, when our clothes are tailored, we feel so good about ourselves, and it's more comfortable. And, you know, what's more important to us, we want to feel comfortable in our clothes. But the reason that it's difficult, you can't just pull something off the rack and it's going to fit you perfectly. If you have that happen, oh my gosh, you were very lucky, because that's a rarity. The reason we need to have those clothes tailored is, think about this. If you have two individuals, they're the same height, they weigh the same, and they wear the same size. Now, those individuals go in and pull a jacket off, or a woman pulls a dress off, or the guys, you pull a pair of pants off. One individual, they've got square shoulders. The other individual, they have sloped shoulders. One individual has short arms. The other one has long arms. The other individual carries their weight in the upper part of their body. The other person carries their weight in a lower part of the body. They're the same height, though, weigh the same, wear the same size. Now, how are both of them going to pull off that jacket and it's going to fit each of them the same? It can't. That's why tailoring becomes so important for us. And as I mentioned, then when it's fit properly, we look and we feel better in those clothes. There are so many options out there that people just don't realize. For those of us who are, you know, going that aging direction, unfortunately, like you said, you look in the stores and you're seeing these patterns and you're seeing these big clothes and all this stuff, and it's maybe you go in the store, you find one thing that works for you. Well, that can be frustrating and it's not a whole lot of fun. I'm teaching my clients how to go online and buy clothes. Same store. You could walk into that store and find nothing. You go online, and Michael, you'll find everything. So what they're doing, because unfortunately so many of the stores are putting clothes out there for the younger ones, you know, but who are the ones who have the money and we want to go buy clothes and look nice is us, you know. So I teach them how to go online and now find your clothes online. I mean, for you guys, you can get specific with your shirt lengths, Mm-hmm. And now they're putting pictures online, they're putting descriptions, and I teach you how to look at those descriptions and how to choose those descriptions to specifically work for you. So that when you get it, and if you want, you can pick up the store, or if you want here, they'll just go ahead and deliver it to your door. And, you know, people love that because that saves time.
Sure.
But now you know when you get it, it's going to fit you. And once you hook into a certain one, you know, I shop a particular store because I know exactly what size to order, and I know when it comes it's going to fit me in those styles. But they're now getting very specific online with getting descriptions. So once you understand your body frame, you know, now you can also go online to purchase clothes. And a lot of men and women, especially those of us who are, you know, aging, that's what we're doing. And it makes life simple. We don't get so frustrated. Not to say we can't find some things in the store, but it's not as plentiful.
Dawn, I'm still bothered by that idea that this five-year-old suit in my closet is out of date. I don't want to be throwing away suits that are just 5 years old. You know, it seems criminal.
Well, especially since you're a man. One, we'd want to look at that particular suit for you because men have a little bit more play there than us women do with the material, especially like when you're speaking of suits. So yours may still be okay for another couple years. Guaranteed, though, after a couple of more years. And usually, even after that time now, it's time to kind of freshen it up. If you've used it and it's gotten worn to it, you know, it's just time to freshen it up and bring something new into the closet in a couple more years anyway.
Hmm. Can you give us a tip or two for African Americans, unique considerations for them?
It's interesting because as far as from a color standpoint, it's not any different, well, or a style standpoint or a personality standpoint. Not any different for them than it is for any other nationality out there. That's the wonderful thing about it, is that it's, you know, not any different for them. Women, however, have a difference when they get into makeup because their skin texture is different, and when they also, men and women, if they're getting their hair styled,
mm-hmm.
because their hair texture is different. But then you've got others out there who, you know, their hair texture is very fine versus very coarse. So all of this that we're talking about really is not any different for anybody out there.
Well, that's good news.
It is good news.
Any final thoughts?
One of the reasons why this is all so important is that we age when we want to look good. We want to feel good. So the wonderful thing about what we're talking about is that when we're wearing our colors, our styles, and it's our personality, it makes us feel good. There is a high energy level there, and we look good. And isn't that what we want, no matter what our age is? But even more importantly, as we're aging, we look and feel so good. So we look younger, we look healthier, and what happens is people are coming up and going, and they may not even know you, go, wow, you look sharp in that outfit. You look great in that.
And it makes your day.
That's what it's all about. Yes, that's what it's all about.
We're talking with color and image consultant Dawn Waldrop. That's Waldrop. Dawn is based in Cleveland, but travels around the country speaking, coaching, and consulting. Her business and book are both titled Best Impressions. The website is best-impressions.com and has articles, tips, and a wardrobe quiz. The best way to learn colors would be a full-day consultation with you. For people who are on a budget, is there a mini version of a color consult they could get with you?
Yes, they can set up and do an hour color consultation with me, and it includes their color palette. And if someone is going to start with any of this, always recommend they start with color.
And do they have to be with you in person to do that?
They do not. We can do that via the telephone. They will send several pictures to me. And we set up a time, and I will get on the telephone with them, and then I will go through color theory with them and actually teach them and go through their color palette specifically with them. And then they have me afterwards if they have any questions, people who will take pictures of their clothes in their closet and send them to me. Certainly there to help them.
And the cost for that mini consult is?
That is $60, and that includes their personal color palette, which is a $25 value.
Well, that's a bargain.
It is definitely a bargain, yes. It is most definitely a bargain. Because once you learn your colors, as you know, it saves you time, makes shopping easy. You no longer waste money on clothes that you wouldn't have worn very much anyway. And it makes it easier to get ready for your day. Because you can have fewer clothes in your closet as long as they're in your colors, and we each have thousands of colors we can wear. People think we're limited, but we're not. We've got thousands of colors. But you can have fewer clothes in your closet because everything goes with everything else. You've created more outfits. So there's more variety there. That's what people love. Guys love it because it makes it easy to coordinate their clothes. Women love it because it brings simplicity to their lives.
Dawn, thank you so much. It's delightful talking with you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
I like to leave listeners with a baby step for living longer, healthier, and happier. I certainly hope you haven't seen today's program as superficial, because I do think that how we dress has a big effect on how people perceive us and treat us, and how we feel. For some people, getting color is easy and intuitive, and for others, it takes a while to get it. Even if it takes a while to get it for you, there are some baby steps that you can take that'll get you started the right direction. One is to give some thought to the four categories that Dawn talked about: natural, classic, dramatic, and romantic, and be very clear in your own mind which one best fits you. When you have that in mind, it becomes easier to choose a wardrobe that's consistent with that. A second baby step is to notice the clothes that you love, the ones that you just feel good when you're wearing. And do a little soul searching as to what is it about them that you love. Is it the color? Is it the texture? Is it the material? Is it the pattern? And when you put your finger on that, try to repeat your success the next time you're choosing clothes. Third little baby step is to just notice whether you look better in silver or gold, and to accessorize accordingly. Keep in mind that there are many shades of gold and even some variations in the color of silver, and you're going for what looks good for you. I received several emails. One of them asked what the point of anti-aging is if the quality of life deteriorates to the point where we don't have good health or we don't have our mental faculties. To me, anti-aging is about being Energizer bunnies on alkaline batteries. See, there's an interesting thing about batteries. The old-style batteries would gradually wear out and lose their power. Whereas alkaline batteries not only last a lot longer, but when they die rather quickly. That's what we're going for with anti-aging. And indeed, when we look at the New England Centenarian Study, for example, we find that these people over 100 years old, most of them didn't have a single disability until at least age 95. They averaged just one medication, and many of them, when they died at home from an acute illness. To me, that's the kind of lifestyle that we want. Another email asked what anti-aging psychology is. If you follow the money, so much of anti-aging has focused on pills and diets and exercises, surgeries, Botox. But a huge part of living longer, healthier, and happier is the mental game. And I boil that down to our anti-aging ABCs, attitudes, beliefs, and coping skills. And as your ABCs change, you become more resilient. You find yourself having more energy. You find yourself feeling more youthful, feeling more optimistic, and being more optimistic about aging because you realize that if you play your cards right, the best is yet to come. Indeed, the research shows that as we get older, a larger and larger percentage of people report being very happy. So the chances are you're more likely to be happier the older you get. I'm always delighted to get your emails. Please send them to radio@agelesslifestyles.com. That's radio@agelesslifestyles.com. When I interview experts in the program, I, of course, focus on their expertise. But I'm always doing research and studying and mulling over what are some other ways to help people live longer, healthier, and happier. And I put those in the Defy Aging newsletter. It's a bi-weekly newsletter, an e-zine, in which I share very practical advice on how to live longer, healthier, and happier, how to think, feel, look, and be more youthful. And I also throw in some anti-aging quotes and some anti-aging humor. If you want to peek inside my mind and find out what my latest thinking is, my latest tips, then you need to subscribe to the Defy Aging newsletter. To subscribe, just go to drbricky.com, that's drbricky.com, and sign up. I'm sure you'll find it very helpful. It's free, and I look forward to having you as a subscriber. This is Dr. Michael Bricky with Ageless Lifestyles Radio on webtalkradio.net. thanking you for joining us on our quest to live longer, healthier, and happier.